All right. Peace, brothers and sisters. I want to welcome you to this Black Wallets Matter members meeting on this call here. Hold on for a second. I want to make sure. On this call here, we are going to have a discussion with Brother George. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to come up with some commonalities so that we can have a definition of what black means, right? And so we want to use that term, even though some people may not agree with it. Some people say that we're not black. Some people say we shouldn't be calling ourselves that. We just want to come to an understanding, a collective understanding of what it means culturally in terms of our beliefs, in terms of our ways and our actions and things like that. Brother George has a few other qualifiers. There was a worksheet that he handed out, and I guess we'll go over it in a minute. And so that's what we're gonna do tonight. But really, really quick, I just wanted to give you guys an update about what's happening with the organization. So I meant to talk about this last week, but I couldn't be on the call. So in regards to the ambassadorship program, we are going to put that on the back burner for right now. So as many of you know, we've had some kinks with implementation. It was just disjointed, right? So it was too big of an effort too soon. We weren't as organized as we were. We had some other interpersonal challenges and things like that. Hence the reason we're having these member engagement series, right, and these leadership, building leadership qualities amongst one another, and also being able to find common ground so that when we relaunch our ambassadorship program, there's cohesion, and then there's a greater level of respect amongst the members, because we do realize that despite whatever personal differences we may have in our lives, we do understand that we are headed in the same direction. We do have the same goal. So we're going to put the ambassadorship program on the back burner. My two priorities for this year, last year was not really bad. I don't consider, even though we didn't get the 2,000 founding members, we peaked at 444. And the reason I say peaked is because as soon as the holiday time rolled around, we began losing members. People were saying they would get back with me after the holidays. I've had about two people get back with me after the holidays. But we have lost about 180 members during the Christmas time. So some of that is due to the holiday season, like I said. But the vast majority of it is from when I post the financials in the members area. So here is what is happening. When I post the financials, so I'm being radically transparent. I'm showing you guys exactly what's going on. I'm showing you from our what's going on from our processing, our credit card processing software, and what's going on with the membership software. And I'm showing the failed payments and things like that, and explaining the reconciliation process step by step. What is happening is that a lot of people are seeing the failed payment, and they are feeling like, oh, okay, well, you know what? If these many people are not making payments, then I shouldn't either. Another thing, when I started implementing you always receive the receipt for your membership due. But what I did was, I explained it in detail. So I let you know every single month, this is what's going on. Every single person here receives the receipt, has the Black Wallets Matter logo on it and all of that stuff, so that you know exactly where your money went every single time, along with the phone number and whatever else. What we have had, we've had about two or three chargebacks. The chargebacks cost us like way more than the people. So on a $10 memberships, you know, charge back the fee and everything, wind up being like $65, $70. When someone can very easily log into their members area and click the cancel button, or they can send me an email, or they can just send me the thing and say, hey, I want a refund or whatever. So we have people who are doing some crazy things with the numbers. So Brother Cujo and I, we talked about this in detail. So what we're going to do going forward is we're just going to have a membership meeting, maybe quarterly or something like that, and then we will discuss the numbers. The numbers are not everyone here is like a core member, right? So you're able to see what's going on. You understand this organization is not taking in no crazy amount of money. Right. And I just was explaining to Brother Kuda, I was explaining to someone else, a system I believe, right? So I lost like roughly about 30 grand, you know, just supporting it, propping it up. So I have to prioritize my personal business this year, but for Black Wallets Matter, I am prioritizing getting this Black Wall Street project launched and getting the first, at least the first iteration of the shopping portal by September, by back to school. It's imperative that we do that because that is what is going to allow the organization to keep running, because I can't keep supporting it to the tune of 2,000 or whatever it is. By the way, also, so we lost one of our highest performing ads, and then I'm also going to cut back on the ad spend as well. But I'm working on some more, I'm working on a replacement. We have, if you guys look on the page, you'll see we have these posts there with Oprah, Beyonce, Jay-Z, or whatever it is. Those posts are there to stir up the pot, cause controversy, get people mad, make other people feel inspired, whatever it is. And then when they click the link, right, so they have to get over their emotion. They have to get over the, okay, no, we need them to do it for us. That's essentially the tone of the post. And this came to me from our last Thursday conversation where we were saying that we need people to realize that they are not a victim. They have to feel empowered. They have to do something for themselves. So those posts, I'm testing them. I'm running tests on them, running ads on them now. The one with Oprah seems to be winning right now. When they click on the link, when they come to the website, there's a landing page. That landing page it has a very high barrier to entry, high qualification. And essentially what it is, it's saying that we want people who are like us. And what I mean like us, if you remember from the first engagement series that we did, there were qualifications, there were certain characteristics that the vast majority of us that we shared. And as Brother George was taking notes, so was I. And, some of those things is like, so being trustworthy and wanting to be part of something bigger than themselves and, all of this stuff, care about leaving a legacy, building something for the future generations and, all of these other positive attributes that we share. I put those things on the page and I told them specifically, these are the people that we're looking for. These are the type of people that we're looking for. If that's you, then we want you to become, we want you to join us. So I just started running them, Sunday or whatever, and we had about 2 or 3 members come in from that, so that's good. I'm still tweaking. So I just wanted to let you guys know, that, and this will be recorded, so the whole membership will be able to hear this. I just wanted to let you guys know that that is what we are going to be doing going forward, because we try to be very open and transparent with the money, with the financials and everything, and that actually hurt us. If anyone is upset about that on the call now, press *6, tell me what you are concerned about, and I will address your concern. And then in terms of, we're going to continue having these calls, these membership calls when the time and when it permits, or when we definitely have something productive, something valuable to discuss. I'm not going to just have the calls for the sake of us getting here and really, talking about nothing or whatever it is. But we will continue to have our Thursday calls. But like I said, I'm going to be prioritizing the Black Wall Street Project. There was a recording made from the last two training sessions that we had. I'm going to be doing more training because there was a lot of interest in that product, and then I'm going to start doing more advertising for that. And all of that is in hopes to get us to the point where, so I'm assuming August, you know, probably July. July, I'm really going to have to lock in and start scraping together whatever it is that I can, whatever it is that we can, so that we can build that shopping portal, so that way we can start taking advantage of the fourth quarter, which is going to be September, back to school shopping, Halloween shopping, Black Friday, you know, all that crazy Christmas shopping frenzy. We need to be able to take advantage of that, because that is going to allow people outside of the organization to still get what they want, feel like they're doing something for the community, but then allow the organization to move ahead with its plans, even though we don't have the 2,000 founder members, even though we, you know, so the plan is still the same, but we're just going to have to figure out another way to do it. And then what we will do from there is then we will start looking at leveraging or getting into some kind of business from that point, where the money that we're generating from that, from the shopping portal, can grow, right? Because the shopping portal is going to require some sustainable investment, because we're going to have to bring on programmers and you know, other people, designers and things like that. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to have to hire staff. There are a lot of things that need to be done within the organization, and everyone works. Everyone has their life going on. I've tried to delegate a whole lot of different things. People volunteer for different things, but life gets in the way. So I'm just saying to you, the things that we need done in the organization, I need to hire people to do it. That needs to be their jobs, because the things have to be done. I can't do it all myself. And if someone volunteers to do it and they don't come through, I have no authority to enforce anything. So that's that would be the third objective for this year. That is what we are focused on. Does anyone have any questions or comments or concerns about what I just said? Press star 6, and then if not, then we are going to let Brother George take the floor. Hello? Hold on for a minute. Yeah. Mr. Shauna, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, you said my phone was going in and out?
Yeah, earlier while you were speaking, your phone was going in and out. It was some static. It seems to have cleared up.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you. All right, so everyone seems to be on board. Okay, and then so I believe everyone here on this call has spoken with me, has my direct number, Sister Darrell and Brother Lawrence. I will reach out to you guys. But everyone here has my direct line. Everyone here speaks to me fairly often. And I'm just adding this as just a little cherry on the top in regards to you know what my time is like, and you know the things that I'm doing and all of this other stuff. My commitment to you guys, my commitment to the organization. So you know, just in case anyone questions that, and I just have to put that out there, because I don't, you know, I never know what anyone is thinking. I think people that I speak to on it all the time, I don't think I don't think there should be any issue, because I'm on the phone with you while we're working on stuff for the organization, or you're talking to me when I'm putting my personal business on the back burner to put BWM business, you know, in the front. So I don't think we have any qualms there. So with that said, let me open up the floor for Brother George. Peace, Brother Leonard. Welcome to the call. Hold on for a second. Brother Leonard.
Yeah, peace. How's everybody?
How are you? Okay. Good. Hey, did you get a chance to download the worksheet for tonight?
No, but I'll do it right now, man. Go ahead.
Okay, because this is pertaining to something that you bring up all the time, in regards to the cultural collectivity and things like that. I like that word. Sister Maya and I, we were discussing it a little briefly earlier, and yeah, and when you say it, it makes sense. So we're trying to figure out a way, we're trying to, I guess, find some identifiers, some characteristics, something that we can all use. You know, but I'll let Brother George do it. You know, it's his show.
Good. I like it. Right on.
Okay, cool. Brother George.
Yes, sir.
All right, you have the floor, brother.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening, Brother George.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me sufficiently?
Yeah, everyone's, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, thanks. I'm looking forward to having some interesting discussion this evening, and if you can pull up the members' engagement activity while we're speaking, that'd be great. If not, then we will be relying on others that do have them to kind of clarify some of the issues or phrases or images that we're going to be discussing. The purpose of this exercise is to create a cohesive and collective group/organizational identity. Just to give you a little background of myself, I'm a therapist. I'm also a musician. And I've created an organization where I can combine both of my passions, music and therapy, which is a more engaging way of addressing how we think, which addresses behavior. In my traditional work as a therapist, I see a consistent pattern of behaviors that fall along racial lines. And that's why I wrote the book as a way to bring awareness to how we are unconsciously thinking in terms of color, which subliminally affects the way we behave, how we see ourselves, and how we treat others based on color, whether it's black, white, or any other color on the spectrum. So with that in mind, I'd like to just first open up an identity question. Who in the group does not identify as black, and why? If anybody is on the line now right now that does not identify as black, I'd be curious as to your reasoning on that.
Brother Cujo, hop in there, brother. You know you fancy with your definition. Brother Lenny, okay,
keep in mind that this is a no-judgment zone, that there is no right or wrong answers. It's only how you authentically think and feel. So I encourage you to be open. Don't worry about offending or saying the wrong thing. The only way we're going to move forward is to be really honest with each other.
Okay, hold on for a second. Brother Leonard.
Okay. A couple of things here, and I'll get right to it. But I'm old enough to remember when we were called colored, Negro, Pan-African, black, and I identify myself African-American. And I'll give you a reason why. If you take a cheetah, and the cheetah is born in the United States, the cheetah doesn't run any slower. If you take a pit bull and he's born in Africa, he's still going to eat up other dogs. DNA, our DNA is from Africa, okay? And physically, and I'm just being funny right now, but I'm just saying that physically, you're not going to see no flat butt African American person. So that stems from Africa, and that's where we're from. So if you check our DNA, the toughest thing with this and I've always had conversation about this. Many of us don't know if we're from Nigeria. Many of us don't know if we're from Tanzania. Many of us don't know if we're from the Congo. And that's one of the things I feel reparation is that we need to know exactly what region that we're from, because that'll tell us a lot about ourselves. In terms of people saying black, yes, I still will say black, but for me, I say African American. I was born in America, but my DNA is from Africa. So that's my position on it.
Okay. So
wait. For clarification. I'm sorry, I got it, Brother Joe.
No, go right, Brother Luke. Go ahead.
I just want clarification. So are you saying that you identify as both? Is that what you're saying?
African American? Yeah, I will still identify with black. I'll still identify with black. If somebody says I'm black, because we haven't been clear ourselves. I've had other cultures ask me personally, do you want to be referred to as black or do you want to be referred to as African American? And I will tell them African American. That's what I say. But typically, when people say black, I know who they're talking about. They're talking about us. But me personally, right. I prefer if we identify ourselves as African American.
Okay. All right. I identify as both. I mean, so it really doesn't matter to me. I think, the way I think of it, I think black is just like the more personal, the more comfortable term of, you know, that's how I look at it. I mean, but that's fine. Okay, Brother George, that.
Well, since we got you, Lou, let's keep going with you. You say you identify as both, and you said that black is a term of comfort to you.
Yeah, it's like I remember when I remember when it was black, and then I remember when it was like all politically correct, and then it went to African American, and then I was like, yeah, all right, cool. You know, if that's the formal way that you got to say it, then that's fine. But you know, I've always been black. Like I think I remember forms and paperwork that used to say black on it. I'm not sure. Cause I remember, I think that change of that African American thing. Yeah. So that African American thing came like, I guess like in the '80s, maybe I don't remember, but I know it changed. So when I got my peddler's license back in the days when I got my first one, it said black on that form. And then I remember like years later when I went to go get my vendor's license, it was African American on it. So somewhere it changed, but you know, I don't have a problem with black. What I did have a problem with, but it was kind of like phasing out, I guess, around the time when I was born, Negro. Negro was a little that never really sat right with me, and that was kind of like around the time when I was born, like, you know, that early 70s, that like around that age, that's what used to go around, and I don't know, like when I used to hear that never really sat right with me.
Okay, so, right. So from your experience, black just had that resonance for you. You just resonated emotionally with that work, and you saw African American as a kind of a term of formality.
Formal, yeah, exactly. I felt black was really comfortable. I actually thought of it as a sense of pride, a source of pride.
Source of pride.
I did actually. You know, and I'm just thinking about it from when I was younger and how. I felt proud to be black, like, you know, really like black, and I'm proud. You know, I felt proud to be black, because we were, you know, because of the strengths and the challenges that we had overcame, and it was like, okay, cool, we were able to do that, and now we're here, and that's because of, you know, because we're strong, resilient people. That's how I internalized it. And I'll be honest with you, I did not know it was a problem with being called black until last year, messing around in social media. I'm telling you, I did not know that. I said, man, social media just changed everything.
Well, that's very interesting, man. Yeah, that's good stuff. Okay.
Well, Can I chime in? Yes. Okay.
Go ahead.
So let's. And the other reason why I kind of have an issue with it is because it keeps us still identifying with white. Okay. But if you look at the other cultures, they don't call the Indian, they don't say, do you see yourself as red? The Asian, they don't see yourself as yellow. They say Hispanic, and they say Asian or Pacific Islander. And the other thing is, if you remember many years ago, the way it used to go in the census, if you had anything to do with black, you were considered black. But now, supposedly, the number one ethnic group is supposed to be Hispanic. Well, as we know, Hispanic is not a race, okay? It's not an ethnic, okay? It's just people who speak Spanish. So now they say non-Hispanic. But the African-American is still the number one minority in the United States. If you break down Mexican, Colombian, Nicaraguan, so on and so forth, you'll find that we're still number one. But that's why they go to Hispanic.
Hey, bro, did you just say Nicaraguan?
Yeah. I was wondering about the only one.
Right. At least I know somebody's listening. Right. That's a good one.
I'm like, yes. Should I call that out or what?
Right. So that's why I focus more on the African American, because black seems to have us still identifying whatever the white man says and how they see us.
Got
and
you.
So that's kind of my other point as well.
Got you.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool, brother.
Sister Maya is in the queue,
and I'm going to pick on Brother Cujo and Sister Rhonda because I know they have some insights into this, into that whole way of thinking. So you guys, even though you guys aren't in the queue, you're not hiding. Okay, so let me – okay, there goes Sister Kim and Brother Cujo, please get in the queue or I'm just going to unmute your phone, and you too, Sister Rhonda. Okay, cool. There we go. Sister Ma, thank you, Brother Leonard. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Sister Ma?
Okay, yes. You took what I was going to say. I'm black and I'm proud. But I like African-American. I consider myself black or African-American as well. But honestly, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. I'm usually very literal, and I used to say when I was young, I'm not black, I'm brown. But I've, you know, learned to endure it, and kind of for the same reasons that have already been spoken, so I won't reiterate them. But I did see a T-shirt that I wanted to mention one time that I really liked, and it's always stuck with me. And it was many years ago, but it had a jagged line going straight up. And, like, with constant bends in it, right? And at the very bottom it said, nigger. At the first bend, say it went to the right, it said, negro. At the next bend, it said, I think, Afro or Pan-African. And then the next bend, it said, black. And the next bend, it said, African-American. And then at the top, where it went straight, it said, are you there yet? Question mark.
Wow.
And that, right, and that has always stuck with me, and it made me think, you know, why do we keep focusing on minor stuff like that? Like, we are always distracted by things like labels and anything that just really tries to me, everything in America is about brainwashing us, brainwashing the world to think that America is the best, and we allow it to change the way we think about everything, even about our own culture and our own selves. And that's no matter what culture you are when you come here, besides Caucasian. And I say that because I, you know, now it's like politically correct for every other outside Caucasian group, outside of being a Caucasian, has the word wherever they originated from, and then American on it. So, like, now we have the Latino Americans, I have heard Indian American, Asian American, Chinese American, Japanese American, Korean American, you know, and African American, as though we're only part American. And, you know, in one sense, people were saying, yeah, we want to hang on to our culture and our roots, so we embrace it. But then in another sense, I see it as America brainwashing us to say, you're not fully American. But again, at the end of the day, I feel like, who cares? I know who I am. I know who I relate to. And I think that that's what we should focus on, is a cultural collectivity. It doesn't matter what the label is, but let's get a sense of unity, period. Call it whatever they want, and we can call it whatever we want. That's how I feel.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Real quick, I just want to say, in regards to that hyphenated American thing, one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest gripes that modern, and when I say modern, I mean white people who act like they don't know racism happened or something. I don't know what other way to put this, right? The biggest gripe they have is that people who come here do not assimilate to American ways.
Right.
That's one of the biggest gripes that they have. And I'm not saying that that we should go out and try to be white or whatever it is. America has a culture of cooperation and productivity. And I mean, I've said this in the blueprint and I've been saying this before. One of the biggest reasons why we are disliked is because we haven't embraced that American trait on a grand enough scale to in completeness. And this is from my research prior to launching this organization or whatever. I'm sitting here saying, well, why are we so hated? And it's that lack of cooperation and that lack of productivity. That causes it, because that is an American, and being rebellious. Those are American traits. And so America will embrace any person from any other country who basically rebelled against the status quo in that country and then came here and did something that contributed to productivity, to business, to money, to the culture or whatever it is. As long as, you know, it wasn't nothing crazy, you know, no crazy laws that, you know, they didn't kill a million gazillion people or something like that or whatever it is. That's what the American spirit is. And they don't think that we, and I'm talking about the white folks who basically totally forgot about slavery and whatever kind of problems it may have and whatever else, they just don't think that we have fared well by embracing that. And so then that's why we're disliked. And so, you know, the fact that we're, you know, called African-American, because, again, that's being, you know, they're thinking they're being politically correct. They're like, what the hell is wrong with these people? Why aren't they getting it? That's, and I mean, and if you guys want to get a sense of, like, you know, what the opposition thinks of us, I would advise you to go and read right-wing blogs and right-wing, Glenn Beck type stuff, and, you know, The Blaze and Newsmax and Breitbart and all of those kinds of websites. Go there and really get into the mind of the person across from you, the opposition, because then you'll be able to see, you'll see some of the things where it's just hate, where it's just complete nonsensical trash, and then you'll be able to see where there are things that it's based in actual fact. Now, are we going to sit there and excuse that, right? Because as we discussed a few times before, there are blowback, there's psychological baggage that we're carrying from slavery and things like that. But we have a bunch of people in the queue now, so let me digress. Sister Mai got knocked off, so her phone probably died. But we have Sister Kim. Sister Kim.
Yes, good evening, everyone, Brother Lou.
Good evening.
I just want, want to make a couple of points. You know, the last few years I've been looking at it, and I do. I look at, and it might be, some people are like, why are you listening to that? But you need to know, well, I'm going to just say it how I feel. You need to know more or less what the enemy is discussing and all like that and stuff. And there's such a hate for us, and it's not, I guess, looking over different stuff, because to me, and I remember my great-grandmother used to say, you know, they might call us nigger, negro, black, and all like that, but those are colors. You know, a race is something you run. It's not something that you label a person. Colors are something that you pray on. They can say white, but something that's white is, you know, in their psychological mind, it's pure. Black is supposed to be so bad, and they've always done a good job of that, but I can't help but to feel that it's more about fear than it is anything else. It's like you were saying, Brother Lou, a lot of other nationalities come here, and they can mesh, they can get loans, they can get this, they can get that, they can do this, they can do that. But there's such a stigma on black. And anything that you fear, you know, it's detrimental to you. You know, if society was to take away all those stigmas and it was just to be a level playing field, it's not a matter of, oh, because affirmative action, they got this. It's a matter of the best man. Me and my mother were going somewhere, we were talking, and just like I said, you know, they can make it about race all day long, and that's the excuse and all like that. But if you cut and I cut, and I'm saying, you know, another race or color or whatever, they cut, we're all going to bleed the same blood. There's not a white blood that spills out. There's not a black blood that spills out. There's not a green blood that spills out. It's still the same. You get busted to the white meat. It's still the white meat. I don't care who it is, where
busted
you come
to the white
from.
Meat.
That's just what that is. But it's just their
so
way
Kim,
of.
So Sister Kim, with that statement, how do you identify? Do you reject the category black? What is your personal identification?
Yeah, I do, and I've gone through that. I think we all go through that because I'm like you, Brother Lou. I was aware when they're calling us African Americans now, but I've often wondered, do they do that because they come from Africa? I was born right here in America, in the good old USA. So that doesn't make me.
You identify
me well. To tell you the truth, I check other because I have Indian. You know what I mean? I have black. I have Indian. I have some Irish. So there have been times I went to that phase where I checked that other box. You
All
know.
Right, so you consider yourself a mix? What do you consider yourself?
What do I consider myself?
What one word best describes your cultural identity?
Well, I can't say what I want to say, but one word.
It's a safe space here.
I'll be brown, but I'll be listed as more or less, you know, Indian or Mexican or something. But then I notice on the census, some Mexicans, they label them as white.
All right, so really see yourself more from your cultural heritage, which has some Indian, has some Mexican heritage, you really don't like to identify to any color like black.
No, because my money doesn't identify as any color.
Okay, I got
you.
You
know, when I pay a bill or something, they don't know if I'm black, orange, purple, or green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not to put my race down or nothing like that. I don't want nobody to believe that. But what I'm saying is we're not all one race. We're not all one color. We have different things in us. Just like I said, I was so surprised when I found out my great-grandfather was Irish. You know, that tripped me out because I didn't think that we had things like that. You know, just like my great-grandmother, she was Indian, full-blooded Indian. She happened to marry a black man that was working on the railroad, you know. And so I've been digging and digging, like, on my ancestral. And I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to let y'all go. I went to down to east, well, down south a couple of years ago, and it's so crazy how we're all separated. I met a cousin that I didn't even know, and we were about to get into a relationship. We're about to start dating, and that was the craziest thing. Right. Yeah. So that made me dig into my, you know, to my ancestral background and everything, because a lot of us, we've been separated, torn apart, and we don't know who belongs to who. Oh, yeah. But look how close I came. You know what I mean?
That will freak you out. Yeah.
That's what made me find out that I got Irish and Indian and all these other things in me. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
I guess I would have to identify myself as being brown or me.
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that, Sister Kim. Okay.
So thank you. Thank you.
Here's what I would like to do. I know we have many more people in the queue to talk about their cultural identity. Stay in the queue because I want to go into the next section here, and we'll take you to these next set of questions.
Okay.
So the title of the member engagement series for this month is What is Black?
Okay.
And then there's
the worksheet.
You're looking at okay. And then there is a subset of titles under that. What is Black Wallets Matter?
Mm-hmm.
What is a Black Wallet?
Mm-hmm.
And then what is Black? So,
mm-hmm.
again, what we want to do today is really examine our beliefs about this Black thing, about this name. And I like what Mai said. Mai said, hey, you know what? I really don't care about what label we pick. Let's just pick one and let's unite on something. And that's really the purpose of this activity, because as Black Wallets Matter, we need to be really conscious about what this title means to us, so that we all are on the same collective accord. And when we go out and start talking to people, we're talking the same language.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's we don't necessarily have to agree on everything. You know, after this is over, some people are still going to say, you know what, I'm not just not down with that Black thing, or I'm not down with the African-American thing, or whatever that is. And that's cool. But we've got to come to a collective conscious agreement about what Black Wallets Matter is.
Right.
Okay. So with that, we're going to go into the definition of culture.
Wait, hold on, brother. You got a few more people in the queue that want to weigh in on the first question. Yeah.
All right, that's fine. Okay, let's let a few more people in there.
Yeah, you got 1, 2, 3. You got about 4 or 5 more people in the queue that want to weigh in on the first one.
All right, cool. Let's go ahead and do that. Thank you, Kim.
Brother Lawrence.
Hey, what's up, Lawrence?
Pete.
Hey. Hey, so I self-identify as African American. Do I have a problem with the term Black? No, I do not. I won't say I'm like excited about it, because I think it's just I want to make sure I say this is right, because I respect the term only because of how it came into being. You know, I remember, you know, generation previous to me, you know, my mother's generation being very proud of the term. You think about this movie Black Panther that's just coming out, but when you had the Black Panthers during that period of time, and you had James Brown, he's talking about, say it loud, I'm Black and I'm proud. You know, I see, you know, that was, it was a call to people of self-identifying. And I think these terms, you know, what it does, why I think it's important, whatever you figure out you want to do, call yourself, I think it's very important how a people claims their self-identity. And that's what I saw, you know, as we've evolved through these terms, what our people have been doing. is claiming their self-identity, their way of being, their place of origin, their sense of belief and values, what you claim your people own, your perspective on the world, your united goals, and, you know, that overall sense of purpose. And it's a powerful political statement that you're making to other groups of people about what you claim to be as a group of people. And so that's why I do think those terms are very important. And I think, you know, Brother Lou, you mentioned how, you know, everything is coming to question, especially with the rise of social media. And, you know, kind of my take on that is because what I've seen happening is that information that wasn't really accessible or available to us, you know, from our own black scholars or African-American scholars, you know, whatever, however you identify them, those that, you know, looked into our history, you know, beyond slavery and continue to discover, you know, the origins of our people. And as I think people come to have a better sense of what that is, and that information is not shielded from us in ways that are, you know, it has been in the past, because you definitely don't get it in school, right, unless you just have that one teacher who knows it and passes it on to you. I think that's kind of, you know, what we're seeing. So I don't think the term black is at all bad, you know. For me, while I say African American, you know, it's more of a way of, I guess, helping, or I guess, of really saying to myself that, you know, as I understand and learn more about who we are as a people, what we've been through, what we've done, and what we've added as value to the world over the arc of time, then, you know, I start to really look at, you know, Africa and even where the term Africa came from, because that wasn't a name that we gave as a people to the continent. There were other ancient names previous to that, you know. And so I think this, you know, these terms will evolve and everything. But I think at the end of the day, what's most important is you call yourself black, and as a way of sense of pride, a sense of unity, a sense of purpose, focus on what you're about as a people, then I'm more than happy and okay with that. But, you know, that's,
Lawrence,
at the end of the day, that's
Lawrence,
what it's about.
And Lawrence, how do you perceive black? You say you self-identify as African American. So how do you perceive the color or the label black?
How do I perceive it? Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I on purpose, just to be totally bold about it, I on purpose tell myself that this is, you know, a good thing, you know. And it's almost, you know, I have to make sure that I push out the negative of what comes in, to, you know, what we all, I think, tend to see when people are talking about black people. And so, you know, I for myself have said I have to be purposeful about countering that, you know, and making sure the message I communicate when it talks about our people is not one that's, you know, like heavily weighted as negative, you know. Like, you know, if you know, sometimes you, in some of our own communities, and I've heard it in my own family, just say, you know, oh, I hate doing business with black people. You know, black people ain't worth a this or a that, you know. Why can't I trust these black people to do right, you know? And I push back hard against that. I push back hard against that to anyone who would overgeneralize our people as just negative in those ways. So it's a very conscious and deliberate decision to do that. And I think it has to be that way. You know, it's a way of saying, you know, kind of planting your flag in your cultural ground as to say, no, that you will not you know, intrude and oppress upon this culture of which I'm a part of by saying those terms and weighing in negatively to us as a group, even for those who look just like me. You know, it's just like you have to counter that. So, you know, that's how I view it. That's how I see it.
Okay. Thanks a lot for that, man. Appreciate that.
You got it.
Now we got Brother Cujo, and then we got Sister Rhonda. Brother Cujo.
Okay, hey.
All right, brother. Go ahead and tell us about your dissenting point with all your fancy words, brother.
Well, I ain't gonna get too fancy, man. I found a post that I made. I'm gonna make it try to make this fast.
Okay, brother.
First, before I read this thing, I need to say this. No, I don't necessarily identify as black. I understand, for the sake of relativity, and not having to explain a whole bunch. Yeah, we use the term, but there are clear reasons that's explained through history why I don't necessarily like the term. But I mean, if it's something that we can relate on, it's more important issues at hand, and we got things to do. But my personal feelings on it is, I'll give you this. I am not a subject of racial identity. My ethnicity is Amerukan, which is a mix of Amaru and Akan ancestry. Both are aboriginals, which is occupying or inhabitants of a land long before colonialism. And both are, quote-unquote, black, having ancestry in the original groups of Africa, which is the original man. And when you look at the definition of black, white, that's where that comes from. And it's a really vague description, but there's an undertones that you kind of have to study to really know about. But anyway, continuing, Amaru are original blacks of the Americas, while the Akan are original blacks of West Africa who have a traceable history going up to Mali over to Egypt and up south on the Nile and past Ethiopia. Again, my ethnicity is Amerukan. As a citizen of this establishment, my nationality will be classified as an American citizen, simply that. Further, there is no legal requirement to identify with a racial group, therefore you should not, especially being that race from its inception in the history of this country has been a tool used to identify socioeconomic status. I am an Amerukan in my homeland. One of the reasons that I don't like and I don't necessarily identify as black is because the history of it, where it came from. Look at the history of race in America. We was Africans first, then niggas, Negro, black, and all of that. When you look at the history of the census and how that changed over time, the mixing and how we were labeled. And it always had to do with our social and economic status, who would have privileges in the land. Ain't nothing changed about that to this day. It's just that now we under a larger umbrella, being one of the minorities. And one of the things in law, minority don't just mean a small group. It means the people that can't do for themselves. And I mean, to a large degree, we don't have autonomy. And a lot of the other small groups that's considered a minority don't have autonomy. I mean, on another note, when it comes to, like somebody mentioned earlier, this being an American, I mean, that's your nationality. You're an American. Ain't no sense in that. To me, I don't see no value in identifying as an African American. Your nationality is an American. And there's a misconception out here, like race and ethnicity is the same thing. You have to ask a white person what's their cultural heritage, their background, and stuff like that. If they know that they're not just white, that's a
so status. Back up for a minute, Mr. Brother Cujo. Make sure I'm hearing you correct. You're saying that African American, that title is really not a fitting title. It really should just be American. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
No, what I'm saying is American is your nationality.
Right.
Race is almost irrelevant. It doesn't identify your ethnicity.
Okay.
It's a common misconception that race identifies ethnicity, but it doesn't.
Right. Right.
I mean, all the information is present to show that race categories identify social and economic status. And there's plenty of examples in history to prove that.
No, you're correct. I was just trying to get clarification with regard to, because you said you identify as African American, correct?
No, I don't. I said Amerukan. Amerukan is my ethnicity. This is what the original people in America, you know, the copper tone people who are darker skinned, far back dating is what they called themselves. Amerukan and Arawaks and some other different things. Most of the people who came from Africa, and I'm certain of it in my family line, were Akan ancestry.
Gotcha.
So
Of
course that would make me, those two joined together as Amerukan.
So African American and Black for you really have no use at all. Those labels have no use.
No, I mean, to me, to say that I'm Black and I'm proud is like saying I'm on the bottom of the totem pole and I'm proud of it.
Okay, all right.
That's how the system of race has been set up in this country.
Gotcha.
You low man on the totem pole. And I mean, if anybody use a degree of mental faculty, when you look at the Hispanics, you know that's not an ethnicity. How do we answer the question as to why there are white Hispanics and Black Hispanics?
Okay, all right. But you make some really some really solid points. The one thing that I would just say, because I know there is a lot of facts out there, but most of this stuff is really not run on facts, it's run on beliefs. And we may consciously say this or say that, but many of us really are held by our subconscious beliefs. So even though we're looking at it right in front of us.
I know a lot. I have to interrupt you there because I do understand a lot of people do that, but I've left belief systems a long time ago. There's a way that a person is supposed to structure life, and you put belief after knowledge. And you know what I'm saying? That's a particular energy that you use for a certain purpose. You should never be led by belief. You're led by knowledge.
Okay,
I only
you know what?
Because I know.
Okay, that's really interesting. So I think this process will really test that, because I hear what you're saying. My goal is for us to become more consciously aware of our beliefs. But the way you're looking at it, it'll be really interesting as we pursue this to see how that works within this conversation. But, man, no, you really bring some good, enlightening perspectives that we'll be able to use. I appreciate your input.
Oh, no doubt. My pleasure.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now we got Sister Rhonda. Sister
hey, Rhonda.
Good evening, everyone.
How you doing?
All right, how are you?
All right.
I have to just make a couple of points. I agree with Sister Mai on unification of our people. I agree with Sister Kim on knowing what the other people are doing so that we can affect change for ourselves. And Brother Cujo, I agree with what he's saying. You have to have knowledge of self. I identify as Black, and that's because of my heritage. It dates back to the Moors. And I noticed from my mom's side, from they emigrated from Spain to Puerto Rico to here. My grandfather was Panamanian. He was Black, even though they have light Panamanian over there. He's Hispanic. I identify as a Black woman in America. I feel that we all should just have knowledge of self in order to attain what we need to attain. Because despite what we call each other, those other people, they have already made up their mind where we should fit in the box. And I just don't happen to fit in their box.
Okay. All right. So your heritage comes from the Moors.
Correct. Oh, my mom. Oh, yeah. My grandmother. Yeah, my grandmother. They came from Spain. And a lot of people say, well, oh, Spain, they have Blacks and Spanish in Spain also. They were most closest to Northern Africa. That's how they were in Spain, how they taught people how to bathe and all that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, long story short, her grandfather emigrated to Puerto Rico from Spain. And that's how we always knew who we were. So with whatever they put on our birth, we knew who we were. So I always identified with Black.
Okay. All right. And what is your opinion on African American?
I'm an American. I don't, you know, because I feel that we had Africans that were already here in Northern America, and so the whole world was dark. The whole globe was dark. The whole globe was Black. And so to distinguish, I think everyone, once they know where they came from or how, you know, their heritage, their DNA, that's fine. But as far in North America, America, I'm just an American.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for that, Sister Rhonda. Appreciate that.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay. Now, Sister Shauna. Hello? Oh, shoot. Wait a minute. Let me see it. Sister Shauna, can you hear?
Hey, family.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
Okay. I'm doing just fine. And I'm trying real hard not to stress out. Y'all stressing me out tonight. Y'all stressing me out. Because even though I know this topic is extremely important to our psyche and how we deal with one another, it's also the least important thing ever. And I, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, agree with just about what the major points everybody said. But I think we all still kind of lying, like just a little bit. Because even in the words that we use to describe and metaphors that we use, there's still things that say that we have an identity problem, we have a hate relationship with our identity. Even, I believe it's Brother Leonard, even in your description of saying, you know, the bottom of the totem pole reference, that subconsciously says that you believe that the word Black or the term Black or the, you know, or being Black is being at the bottom of the totem pole. So,
sister, real quick to interject, I ain't snitching, but that wasn't Brother Leonard who said that.
Who was that? Who was that?
I ain't snitching, but I ain't gonna let you throw the good brother.
Okay, well, who said? Was that Brother Cujo?
I wish we were.
Well,
you get
ahead. Well, look, I don't know everybody's voices by heart, and
no,
I was taking notes. I didn't write the names of who said what. I just took the notes on what was concerning to me. But it's just the references that was made. For me, if we're being honest, I just don't give a damn. I really don't. I just don't give a damn. What I care about is what affects my family, what affects my family's family, the people around me that I care about, and how what I look like is happening to the same people that look like me, and that I'm getting stigmatized. My children are getting stigmatized. Things in our lives are difficult because of what we look like, what we went through, and because there are other people that hate us, envy us, and fear us because we are so great. And it pisses me off that the whole conversation that we have to have behind this identity or this, that, and the other thing, it, in your mind, is not that we are great. Who cares if you black, African American, Negro? But I bet you every last one of y'all, when y'all get mad, you say that nigga done lost his mind. I bet you every last one of you, when you get mad at somebody down the street, you gonna say that nigga done lost his mind. I guarantee you, because even though I try to be proper and you know, just distinguishing my words when I'm talking to people, my family knows, and even Brother Lou, we were in a business study, if I'm talking to him and he goes too far, in any minute I'm going to say, okay, look, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's cultural, and that's admirable, though. I feel good that I can talk to Brother Lou like that. I feel good that I can get on the phone with Brother Cujo or any of the other sisters and be culturally African American
right.
with you.
Right.
Right? You do identify
I think that's
with
being
African.
Black. That's culturally I think we be black when we on the phone.
Well, the reason why I use the term African American and not just black, because I think black is encompassed in Afro Latinos. You know, like, we have so many different kinds of black, right? You know, so when I say African American, I'm saying the
okay,
culture that we,
yeah.
You see what I'm saying? The culture of what we grew up in America. I just don't think none of that, it don't matter. It just doesn't matter to me.
So, Sister Shawna, even though it's apparent that you don't give a what,
mm-hmm.
What identity would you most likely relate to?
I would most likely say I am a black woman.
So you would,
if somebody asked me, I would say I'm a black woman, and
black
I would
woman. Okay.
I would say I'm a black woman. How I would identify myself. But
okay.
if I had to write it down and break it down between culture, race and ethnicity, you know, I would say that I'm American.
Okay.
Right? I would say my race is biologically African. I mean, since race can only be a unitary thing, I would say my ethnicity is a mixture of African, white, Mexican, and Native. So,
gotcha.
I mean... That's it. That's my whole story.
Okay. All right. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah. Shame on you folks over there stressing Sister Shawna out, getting on her nerves, playing them games with the sister. Y'all know y'all friends. Y'all know exactly what y'all do. Y'all get mad exactly. Now I done been on the line with a few of y'all. Done hurt. Let me leave you alone. All right, thank you so much for sharing, sister.
All right, thank you.
Sister Darrell, you're live, sister.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I'm going to consider myself Black. And I think everybody does understand that being Black in America is more times than not having African descent. As my daughter, whose father is Puerto Rican and West Indian, and on her mother's side has Native American, Indian, Irish, and Italian in addition to Black, she says she's not going to choose. Somebody in school, she actually got into an argument with someone because my daughter's last name is Garcia. And they said to her, oh, stop trying to be Puerto Rican. You know you're not Puerto Rican. But her last name is clearly Garcia.
Interesting.
But she's more of a caramel color. You know, if you look at her and pay a little bit of attention, you can see that there's something else behind everything.
Right.
But she said, you know, who are you to tell me to choose? She says, I'm not going to be Black, whatever your version of Black is. She said, I definitely don't want to be that. The girl's a little on the ghetto, ignorant, you know. So she said, I definitely don't want to be Black. She said, but who are you or anyone else to make me choose? She says, I'm not one thing, and I won't identify with one thing. You can't make me identify with one thing because I am more than one thing, which leads now to my grandson. My grandson, so my daughter already being mixed, my grandson, my son-in-law is German, Puerto Rican, and Native American Indian. My grandson is a white boy with blonde hair.
Wow.
Okay, and I am clearly, you look at me, I'm not passing for anything except for Black. There's really not too many questions about that. But I have a lily white, blonde-haired grandson and a daughter who's only a couple of shades lighter than I am. So, what do you know?
Okay.
So, and with all of this, I being able to identify with being Amerikian and being more, unless you actually, and this is not to offend anybody, but unless a person has actually had some type of DNA testing, it's hard to know where you come from. So being able to have this knowledge of self, this true pride of self, we have to first know who we really are. I know who I am as a Black woman. I know who I am as a Black woman growing up in America. I know who I am as a Black woman growing up in Northern America, because where you grow up, you got a little different personality, got a little different flair and style and language and lingo and things. So that part I know. But I think if we're truly going to finally get that true love of who we really are, we have to know who we really are. So I want to know, am I Nigerian? Are my people from Ghana? Am I from Mozambique? Where?
Yeah.
You know, I know I'm 30% Irish, but what about the other 70% of me? I want to know what that is. And I can understand that through slavery, they kind of mixed and matched us. They didn't want people who spoke the same language to be in cahoots together. You know, so you got this tribe, this country, that country. So we're all going to intermingle. And so now our children are this and that and that and this and that. We were terrified into not passing any of this along to our children. Only the strongest and the bravest were going to give their child a second name that Massa didn't know about, you know, pass on their culture. They weren't allowed to pass that on. So it was lost. So until I know who I am, how can I truly have knowledge of self? So I really feel that reparations, if at all possible, true reparations can really be part of this fight. And I think that we are owed that. I think I am owed to know who I am. I didn't come here by choice. Had I been here by choice, I wouldn't know who I am. I'd be able to go back to my great.
Got you. How do you spell your name?
D as in David, Arrelle.
Sister, you mentioned something. Someone else mentioned this too. I didn't want to interject. Are you finished? I just want to comment on something.
Yes, I am.
So the right. So what you were saying in terms of I identify as a black woman here in North America, Northern America, you know, United States, Northern United States, things like that. That's exactly how I feel about the stuff. And usually, so, you know, Brother Cujo and I, we have, that's why I kind of like put him, you know, on the spot and things like that. So we have some of these conversations, especially about some of the things that I see on social media. And what I realize is that when the vast majority of people go, you know, they do these 23andMe type tests, you know, these DNA tests that they find out that, first of all, we're all blended. We all got some kind of European, you know, we all got some of that in there, right? And then it's like you said, so then you might be 5% Nigerian and, you know, 12% Mozambican from Ghana. And right, so now you're a hodgepodge anyway. So
yeah.
I don't think any of us need to be standing there poking our chests out talking about we're this. We're the only thing we can stand and say we're the only thing that I think we can say is that we are either African American or black people from America. That's the only thing you know with absolute certainty. The only thing you know. You don't know none about none of that other stuff. Because even if you go back to those places in Africa, right, you got to remember, Africa is a continent. So you're talking about country. So you're saying that you're from this country, but where at in that country, right? Because like you said, in certain countries have certain cultural distinctions. They have certain rituals and rites and, or, you know, all these little different characteristics and traits. So there's and tribe, right, because we all know that we were tribal. So there's no way for you to even figure out, like, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
With any degree of pinpoint accuracy, at least in my opinion. At least in my opinion.
If at least, you know, it could be the my largest majority is Nigerian. You know, I even though I know that there's so many other pieces of me, if the larger majority Nigerian, I would want to learn about that. I would want to see is there anybody who looks like me?
Right.
You know, am I going to run into somebody and somebody says, you look like my cousin so-and-so. You know, you just, you never know. And when you do those, like you said, the 23andMe, the ancestries and this, that, and the third, I did one, and it just said sub-Saharan African.
Mm. Okay, so it didn't even break the rest of it down.
Sub-Saharan African. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, that's kind of rough.
Not at all. No help.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's kind of yeah. That's like one of the conversations that I usually have. Whenever I'm thinking about something, especially when it's like a really really big vague concept, I try to get to the bottom line. I try to say, okay, well, where exactly, how far can we really, really go with this? How deep can we go? And, you know, when I was telling people at some time, and I know a lot of people, they don't like this, but I've never even heard anyone give me a good alternative. I'm saying in terms of going forward, how about we start teaching our children, we start letting them know about what happened in slavery, the institution of slavery, that we came from Africa, we came from the continent of Africa. If we want to be technical, we can say that the vast majority of people left from the west coast of Africa. But I think we need to start redefining with the great things that we've done here in America to inspire and instill motivation and see in the seeds of success in our children about how we start with you know the adversity that we overcame from being in the slave trade, right? He'd be like, let me tell you about the greatness of your ancestry. You were brought over here and you were this and this, this, and this, but you know what? You didn't let that hold you back because and then you start running off all the successful black people who overcame despite all of that, and you let that define be the new definition going forward for the children. So then that way when they're sitting there and they're talking about what's going on, so it's the same way like how, you know, they whitewashed our history, we can blackwash it, and it just can be all positive. And there's no reason why, you know, there's no reason why we can't do that. No one is ever going to be able to have to know every single thing that happened in history, especially about things that happened over there across the waters, because the documentation was pure, was poor. The documentation was poor. So how are we going to really know a lot of every single thing that was going on? So I think we should just say, hey, this is, there was some slave ports over here on the West Coast. Some people came from the East. Some people came from the South. But, the vast majority went to the West Indies and South America. We winded up over here. Here's our ancestors. Despite all of that, we overcame, and boom. And then I think it's more important to embrace a culture of productivity and cooperation, especially starting with ourselves. But let me get off because we got Brother Dwayne in the queue. I'm sorry, sister. Is there anything you want to add? Excuse me. Sister, is there anything you want to add? Yes.
Well, when you were talking about history, I was just going to say that history just needs to be taught in its totality. If we're going to teach American history, let's talk about what really happened and how it really happened.
How do we know? We don't know.
I mean, well, the things that we know have been swept under the rug. There are lots of things that we know for a fact, but they're not in the book.
That's a real valid point. And the question then would be, who do we appoint to ensure that that happens?
Well, I think your first parent is always going to be. I mean, your first teacher is always going to be your parent. But if I had a child in school, I would get with, if I had known what I knew now when my child was in school, I would have got other like-minded parents to push to start changing the history curriculum. You know, when you have some teachers that kind of go off of the curriculum, they'll use pieces of it, but then they'll throw in their own extra bits, and then they get in trouble for not following the curriculum. It's like, well, this is history. You may not. It may not be the pretty part of it, and it's definitely not the glorifying white part of it that America tends to be. It needs to be real history, and it needs to be pushed to have things changed. But it starts at home. My daughter in the first grade, when she came home all excited about Columbus Day, told her who Columbus really was. That's where it's going to have to start, because, they're not going to tell the truth, at least not right now in school.
Right.
Eventually, I think it will come. We are on our way because the internet has just opened up something that they can't close
right
now. So they're going to have to change it. But right now, while we're fighting for it, we have to tell our children what really was and what wasn't. So when you all excited about having Columbus Day off, let me tell you about this too.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you keep it to your child's level of understanding.
Right.
But we need to teach our children actual history. The part of the history that we know, the dirty part that they want to hide, we have to tell our children. Or else white America will have us, our beginning was from slaves, as if we were born on the slave ship.
Right.
No.
I got you.
Well, just to clarify, and I'll let you go because we got a few other people in the queue. Mm-hmm. But what I was talking about was when we start building these community resource centers. So I had already assumed that we were going to just take responsibility of educating our own with our own information, because we know that's not, we can't rely on them to do that. So that's really what I was saying, though.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll agree.
All right.
All right.
Okay. Yep. No problem, sister. Brother Dwayne. Go ahead, brother.
Peace and unity, everybody.
All right,
peace, brother.
All right. I'm gonna jump in with. Did anybody catch on the Office of Management and Budget Directive? Number 15, race and ethnic standards for federal statistics and administrative reporting. Because I got on kind of late. Did anybody touch on that?
No.
What are you reading from, brother?
This is from the CDC. Centers for Disease and Control Prevention. But this document is from the Federal Office of Management and Budget, and it's called Federal Directive 15. And this directive, it provides standard classification. Pardon me?
Okay, so is that in that, it's in the, hold on, it's in the, it's in the, it's in the worksheet from tonight? Where is that?
No, it's not in the worksheet.
Oh, it's
but,
not.
So it provides what? FD-15 says what?
What it breaks down is the basic racial and ethnic categories for federal statistics and program administrative reporting are defined as, it's breaking down race, what the race is legally.
Legal race.
The legal definitions of each race. And the basic racial and ethnic categories for federal statistics program administrative reporting are defined as follows. A, African American and Alaskan Native. A person having origins in any of the original peoples of North America and who maintains cultural identification through tribal affiliation or community recognition. B is Asian or Pacific Islander, and that's classified as a person having origins in any of the original peoples of Far East, Southeast Asia, the Indian subcontinent, or the Pacific Islands. This area includes, for example, China, India, Japan, Korea, the Philippines, and Samoa. C is Black. A person having origins in any of the black or racial groups of Africa. D is Hispanic. A person of Mexican, Puerto Rican, Cuban, Central or South American, or other Spanish culture or origin, regardless of race. E is white. A person having origins in any of the original peoples of Europe, North Africa, or the Middle East. And it breaks down how utilization for record keeping and reporting to provide flexibility and preferable to collect data on race ethnicity separately. If a separate race or ethnic group, ethnic categories are used, the minimum designations are A, race, American Indian or Alaskan Native, Asian or Pacific Islander, Black, White, B, ethnicity, Hispanic origin, not of his or of Hispanic origin. This is the federal government's how they break down race. For example, when people come in from Africa, they can be the darkest of dark. They're not classified in most when they go through if they get nationalized. When they take the oath of office like we do in the military, when we raise our right hand and take the oath to defend the Constitution, that's what being nationalized is, if you're coming from different territories on the earth. And I knew that from joining the military. I knew when I raised, after a while, I didn't know when I was joining the military, but years later, as I started studying this type of stuff I'm reading to you, I knew that when I raised my right hand, I stepped out of my citizenship as a Pennsylvania into a U.S. citizenship. And I know that a lot of people sign documents and say that they're U.S. citizens, but they didn't take an oath of office like judges or elected officials, anything that falls under the 14th Amendment. That's when you're dealing with public office and things of that nature. But this is, like I said before, when I came into Islam, I came into the Nation of Islam, and they used the term black. But when I started studying Islam, it just ignited, me studying all kinds of stuff. And I wasn't limited to just what was taught in that particular class. And I just looked up the meanings of words. And black, if you notice the definition of black, it doesn't contain original peoples from anywhere. It just says black is a person having origins in any of the black or racial groups of Africa. Now, Hispanic doesn't have the word peoples in it either. But white has the name people. It deals with original peoples, American, Indians, Alaska Natives. That's dealing with original peoples and things of that nature. And this is just playing into the totem pole thing. y'all that I heard mention how black is at the bottom, how they deal with us with a strong arm. And if you look at this classification, they're looking at us as groups and as that term as groups. We can be white persons according to this definition. If we claim Africa and we don't exactly know our origins, we can say that we're white people. We're white because it's basically it's not dealing with complexion. It's dealing with statistics and origins
classification.
Different parts of the planet Earth and things of that nature.
Very good. So now
so I could be more elusive on it. That's the first time I really shared this in an open forum.
Yeah,
and I might not have been as clear as possible.
No, I'm glad you did that. That was not knowledgeable. However, here's what I'm curious. With your military experience and with your sighting of this FD-15, how does that personally impact how you see yourself? How do you identify yourself?
Really, this is what I tell my children. I'm like, and I was talking to my father because I dig into them, and they really don't know the origins of their grandparents and things. And I was trying to find out because they said my grandmother on my father's side had Native American in them. And my grandfather, my father's father, he was dark complexion, but she was like high yellow mixed with white, and they said some Indian and things of that nature. So my father and his brothers are mainly like high yellow, but I took on a darker complexion because my mother, she's dark. And I have like a reddish complexion, a copper tone complexion, but for real. But I while in the Nation of Islam, I used to go over to New Jersey to these classes that they had in Camden, New Jersey. And it was dealing with, it was the Moors. And it was breaking down how we're like really on this continent of North America is really like North Africa and things. And it was like, it was a culture shock for me. But it just got me thinking and studying more and how nobody from Africa has really claimed us. All these millions of people that say we're of African descent and only story we have is the fictitious story of Roots, because they said a lot of that stuff was made up, the story of Roots. So, and then history has shown that with the history of the Olmecs in Central America and the Mayan people of like South North America, the southern parts of North America, I'm just looking at like we were on this land and they just really displaced us coming onto this land, because if you look at how they Europeans immigrated over here, it's well documented. And I heard one brother mention that, you know, our documentation of us coming over here was like really scattered. So I'm not really feeling that narrative of the slave narrative. There may be a few people that came from Africa, but reality says that these Europeans really are the wetbacks or the boat people and things, because they came over here on boats and it's well documented. And so they came over here displacing us and moving us from off our land. And I'm looking at if we trace our European slave name, as they call it, to that was identified in lands that they forced us off, the land that they took when they found us there. So I'm not feeling the African energy like most people do. So the term African-American, America is three continents, North, Central, South America. And as you said, Africa is like several countries and things of that nature and different tribes and dialects. So if you say you're African American, that doesn't make no sense.
So what identity do you feel? What if any? If you don't feel any, that's fine too. But
I'm indigenous. I put down Native American. I'm not. I can't claim a tribe or anything, but I'm native to this continent, and there's no history in our family of us being from Africa.
I got you. Okay.
So I would have to claim Native American.
You could go on our Facebook page, or go to slavevoyages.org, and you can see documentation of slaves being sent. Because you got to remember, slaves are cargo. And so these people, and there was insurance on those boats and things like that. So there are ledgers. and you can see the documentation. There are meticulous notes of slaves being brought here from Africa as cargo or however you want to call it. So,
and what's the website?
It's called slavevoyages.org. This is what you're saying is one of these new things that I've been hearing on social media too, that just was like blowing my mind, because the people are saying, no, we was already here. And I'm saying to myself, so what happened? They came, they brought boats, what, they took us on a cruise and then brought us back? I'm like, that. I can't even wrap my mind. I can't wrap my mind around, like, none of this stuff. It's like, it's just craziness. Like, I'm like, wait a minute. Like, that never was being, like, some things are just, it's like flat earth right now. Like, this is just crazy. And I apologize to anybody who believes the earth is flat right now. But it's like, you know, what are you guys doing? Like, just stop worrying about some of that stuff, man, and come back over here and let's talk about what the challenges that we have in front of us. You know, forget some of this high-level stuff. That stuff is, you know, that's above the pay grade right now. Let's just stay focused with what's right in front of us. And some of that stuff, we, you know, and it's bad, right? Because you on social media, and it's like they've given the idiots the bullhorn. You can say any and everything you want about any and everything right now, and then you're bound to find other people who agree with you with whatever it is. And like Sister Ma say, you know, let's forget about all that other stuff and let's just stay on task with the thing. But Brother Dwayne, just to let you know, slavery did happen. The transatlantic slave trade did happen, bro. And there is documentation. People sitting here saying, well, where are the boats? You're talking about wood that decomposed at the bottom of the ocean and all this stuff. You're talking about wood from 400-500 years ago and all this old crazy stuff. There is documentation. And then the other thing, there are some slaves who are able to trace their roots. There are people here, especially in the South, but they're able to trace their roots back to the plantations or wherever it is wherever their family came from, great grandparents or whatever it is, and then they have ledgers and they have documentation where they purchased them from a slave trader, a guy who got them from a port in Virginia or North Carolina or whatever port that is, Florida or wherever it is, and a bill of sale and all of that stuff. So all there, you can see all of that. You can even go back and see flyers. You can go back and see flyers of actual when they're broadcasting, hey, slaves coming over from the Congo and from all these other different places. You know, they'll be here Tuesday. So
let me ask you this, Eric.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Ancestry.com as a search for ancestry? Is that a reliable source?
I have mixed feelings about Ancestry.com only because I know of the origins of that company. That company actually came from a guy back in the day, an old school marketing guy. It used to be an old company called Halberts back in the days. Then this guy named Dennis Haslinger brought the company from Halberts. And then he sold it, and then it went through so many different iterations throughout time. So I kind of don't trust it, right? Only because I know it's a big marketing thing, or it started off as just a big marketing company. So I kind of don't trust it. So I mean, maybe they're on to something now. I don't know, but I just know that's the origins of it, because Dennis Haslinger, before he died, he sold it to the people who turned it to Ancestry.com. So,
and another question, the DNA testing, from whatever source, what do you think is the most reliable one? Or is that a whole another marketing thing?
I have no input on none of that, because I don't trust none of that stuff, man. I think right now we're being too free with allowing them to classify and categorize our blood DNA. What you got on a call late, I was just messing with Sister Shawna. She has Alexa in the home. I think we're just giving up way too much of our privacy, way too much of our personal things. So I'm being honest with you. I have never even checked into it. And if I could pulpit, you know, I'm never doing it. So I'm good. Like I told you, my stance, my personal stance is I'm fine with being black in America. I'm from America. I'm fine with being black from Brooklyn. That's good enough for me. You know what I mean? I can use that, you know what I'm saying? I can use that as a springboard for the rest of my life to get to wherever else I want to go. I have no emotional baggage, no emotional attachment to none of that stuff. When I talk to Brother Cujo sometimes, he uses these native words to me and all that, and I tell him, I'm like, hey, bro, I feel nothing. I'm like, I don't want to get up and dance. I don't get up and want to bang on no bongos. I don't feel none of that stuff you're talking. I don't know. It ain't in me. So, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm fine. I'm fine with American, with black American history. I'm fine with, I mean, not happy about slavery, but I'm fine as using it as a starting point to say, you know what, that's an adversity. We're strong enough to overcome that. And if, you know, if anybody really knows the story about why they had to use it, they tried to enslave other people and they weren't strong enough. So that's, you know, that's something there. I mean, I know it ain't good, but nobody else wasn't even, they couldn't even take it. So, you know, that's just a little point.
And what are your feelings on like when we sign up for these like employment and things of that nature, they ask you to identify your race and things of that nature. And now there's I'm trying to find, I had all of this stuff somewhere. But this
well, I got on later. Here's what I want to do, because I know we got a couple more people left on there.
We can take more minutes, but
the focus really is how do we, you know, because we got some good information, and how are we going to extrapolate this and hone it down to raise up our brand for Black Wallets Matter?
Well, we're going to have to do that next week, bro. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that because I think at least getting people to come out and define or to see what they – this is interesting, and I know you're taking copious notes, and so, let's just go with the flow, and then now we got something for next week.
I recommend that you look in the Federal Directive 15 for yourself and put.
Oh, I am, brother. I am. I got you now. I am.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And put your expertise on it, because that's really dealing with the class system.
Yes.
Within this economic structure, so if that's a class structure and there's a hierarchy and things and it's claiming part of Africa, hierarchy and that's white.
Yep.
I mean, we could have black wallets, but we could be white class.
I hear you, brother. I hear you, man.
White power.
you just said white power?
White power out here. And do you know how many that would turn these Europeans' head upside down if we claim that? And run with that class?
If we flipped that script on them, yeah.
We fight racism with racism.
There you go.
We claim North Africa, we white.
Right.
And we our credit scores will probably go up.
Yeah.
All right, man. Immediately. We got a few more people in the queue. So we got to wrap this up, man. We got to try to do this in 7 minutes, bro, because I got to get up with my kids in the morning.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for hearing me. Yep. Brother Jeff, you didn't get on tonight. Peace, brother.
Peace, family. Peace, family. How everybody doing this evening?
Right,
I'm going to make mine short, because like you say, I got to get up early myself. But this is the deal. It's funny how God and the universe brings everything together. I was talking to a brother today, and we was talking about brands. And here we are talking about brands. I want everybody to reach and grab their change off the dresser. All that change on that dresser is silver, and then you got a penny that's bronze. That penny represents us. No matter how you look at it, and they say, what, it's the bottom denomination, right? But it truly doesn't represent us, but it represents us, because that's the brand that they put on us. Just like the name nigger, negro, black, African-American, those are all brands that they created for us. we have to create our own brand.
Yeah.
So that's what I was talking to the brother about, creating our own black clothing line, and I'm trying to create brands for to put on us instead of the brands that they create to put on us. And that's what all this is about. It's all about
man.
A brand. These are brands that they have put on us since they bought us.
Mm-hmm.
If we were here or slave ships, whatever, they have branded us any kind of way you can think. They have branded us with rope. They branded us with iron. They branded us with names. They branded us with clothing. They branded us with, the way we fight against one another. We branded all the way. We got to change the brand, period. We got to change the brand to us. We can call ourselves whatever we want to call ourselves. But all these other names and things, they're brands that they put on us. I'm good, family. That's it for me. Y'all got to
love it, brother. Thank you.
Okay. All right, Brother Cujo.
Cut off.
Yep, Brother Cujo and then Sister Darrell, and then we're going to shut it down for the night. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I think tonight's call was pretty interesting. It's good to hear everybody's perspectives and stuff. It's a lot of information that's out here on the subject about racial identity. I would suggest anybody that has interest in it to go deep into the study. I mean, it can be valuable because there are certain things that we can use to help define culture. But at the end of the day, our main objective is to find the things that we can agree on and use that to work together and build.
Right.
In all honesty, that's why I love the organization of Black Wallets Matter, because that's the focus. What can we agree on and work together and build? Because at the end of the day, as far as I see it, that's the only thing that truly matters. When it comes to when it comes to defining our culture, we're gonna need to do that. We're gonna need to do that to a degree, because in order for us all to work together, we have to have a code of conduct.
Yes.
And we have to have a common understanding about certain things that are at least relevant to the movement.
Right.
You know, so we don't have a problem with adhering to a certain direction or even making adjustments when necessary. I mean, the whole thing, the focus is about working together collectively. And I think tonight's call is good because we get to there's value in it because we get to hear the difference of opinions and even in some sort of the difference of understanding that people have. You know, but some of this stuff is like we could benefit from having some personal study, because culture is valuable. You know, I was really looking forward to you giving the definition of culture, because I think it's valuable.
Let me read that real quick. Thank you for bringing that up. Just real quick, let me do that, and I'll let you get back to it. Here's the definition of culture. It is in the members engagement download that Brother Lou sent out, but I'm going to read it. Culture refers to the totality of the pattern of behavior of a particular group of people. It includes everything that makes them distinct from any other group of people, i.e. greeting habits, dressing, social norms, taboos, food, songs, dance patterns, rites of passages from birth through marriage to death, and so on and so forth. But where it really, the key phrases in this definition for me to stick out is the totality of the pattern of behavior of a group of people, and everything that makes them distinct from any other group of people. So, I mean, those are really heavily loaded concepts when you think about that, because that's where stereotypes tend to come from, a totality of pattern behavior of a particular group of people.
Yeah, I like that. I'm seeing the same value. The taboo stuck out to me, too, you know, because that can be valuable, you know. There's certain things that we don't do. Just like when we get together and conduct meetings and stuff, it's a certain way that we have to act, and that's kind of where these happen to spawn from some of the friction that we've having with trying to get the ambassadorship program off of the ground.
Yeah,
and that kind of goes to the code of conduct where it's certain the taboos are important too, because there's certain stuff that you don't do.
Right.
You know, you can't talk to anybody any kind of way and all of that, you know. And, of course, when it comes to the responsibilities of the organization, responsibilities and roles that will come up in the organization, it's a certain way that we expect people to act so that we can continue, I'd say,
right,
to have the trust, you know. So
correct.
I just think that's a key factor too.
Very good.
But
I've
been enjoying the meeting, and I think we can learn a lot from it.
For sure, man.
All right. All right, thank you, brother. Okay, Sister Darrell, and then Sister Mai. Go ahead, Sister.
I was just going to state really quickly, the other gentleman was asking about specific, like, ancestry tests and things like that. And my aunt has a link to one that it seems like it's pretty specific. It gets pretty specific, and it's Black-owned. So I can find out if that's what it is for sure. And if it is Black-owned, Brother Lou, I can send you that information, and maybe that's something you might want to share, you know, information for everyone.
Is it Black ancestry roots? Sister Shauna said there's one called Black ancestry roots or something like that.
Well, I'll find out what it is from my aunt, and I can just email you that information.
Okay.
I can't say that's the name of it though. I don't want to lie to you.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
But I can find out and forward it to you. That was all. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sister Mai.
Hi. Thanks for taking me again. I wanted to first say that I love, and I don't remember sister's name, but I want to know who it was that got on and said, basically, we are driving her crazy. who is that?
Sister Shauna.
Oh, Sister Shauna, okay. I feel it. I totally feel her. I like the dialogue and the exercise and all that, but honestly, at the end of the day, I'm like, what are we doing? And really, I guess I don't get it, really, the importance of picking a label for us or defining ourselves, because even though we're going through this exercise as a small core group, when we get to 2,000 people or, you know, 200 more, 300 more, 400 more, you're going to have another plethora of different, you know, opinions and information. And it's like, who cares?
If I could interject with you on that real quick.
Okay.
Coming from my line of work, working with our community, because I'm in the juveniles every day, I'm in the school systems every day, I'm in Department of Child Services every day. So everything I'm seeing is from how we are thinking or how we're not thinking. And there's a lot of programs that are addressing behavior from the outside, but not really addressing the origination of those behaviors. So we're talking about one of the most important aspects of our quality of life, which is finance, economic empowerment. The way you spend your money is an exact reflection on the way you think.
All right.
And so for this group to really, this is my personal opinion from a clinical therapeutic standpoint,
because black people, we tend to spend to feel good versus spend to think of the effectiveness of what we're doing financially. And so that's all emotional based. And when we start peeling back those layers and looking within, not that I'm trying to change anybody or that we're trying to change ourselves, we're just trying to wake up to who we are and what we're doing so we can make more intelligent choices.
After so then is this basically about loving ourselves and less about the name or at the end of the day?
No, at the beginning of the call, and in the email, I was saying that this is all discovery, right? And the purposes of this is to find the commonality. So right. As we sit here and we're discussing what's going on, the differences, looking for the underlying currents, the underlying, the commonality, that will allow us to define ourselves. And whether we like it or not, that's just the way that the world works, right? Our minds work that way, to just categorize things, because it categorize and compartmentalize. So if we are able to, let's just say, define ourselves as, BWM black, right? Let's just suppose that would have been the thing, right? Now when we go and we start approaching other people or we start addressing or whatever it is, now we give them a definition. We can tell them this is what it is, and then here's what the underlying characteristics of that mean. Are you the same? Do you have the same? If you have the same characteristics, then you know what, this will resonate with you. And then what happens is when they get in our midst, they will understand or they will feel comfortable. They will feel invited. They will feel warm. Like right now, this was a really comfortable, casual conversation. I mean, I was loving it. Like, everyone's getting on and they're speaking. It's a total different vibe from our Thursday call. You understand what I'm saying? And we want more people that are on this side of the, that's on this side of the table with us. And because, it's with these kinds of people that we'll be able to build. Building is so hard. I mean, I can't emphasize to you guys. You got a lot of noise. Oh, I'm gonna mute the phone. You guys don't know how incredibly hard it is to, like, build, like, to try to do something. I'm telling you, it's ridiculously hard for us. And sister, earlier you sent me the email. So this is something that the sister was talking about. I'm gonna mute her phone. Hello, sister?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm telling them about the email that you shared to me. The Latinos are circulating a newsletter amongst themselves that talks about the political candidates in their local areas, and it empowers their people. It's under the radar, right? I don't know. So Systemize did some infiltration or whatever. I don't know how she got on the thing, but. She has no, and but for real, and they're sitting there and they're talking about here's the person that's going to be in the 4th district, and this is like a person who's an assemblyman, and this person is a representative, all the little small political positions where when these people are starting off, they're really, to me, I don't really think they have much power. But as you get behind them and you push them through, they rise up in the ranks, and then that's how you put your own political people in place. The Latinos are already doing this.
Right.
They're already doing this. And we're not even – I mean, oh, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, so can I give you a little bit of insight to that? They actually are very powerful, and they're not necessarily under the radar. They make no qualms about who they support, who they are. And it is, they put this publication out, and it's called The Official Latino or Hispanic Voting Guide. And they make sure they say official, and they send it out all the time. And they're basically telling you, if you consider yourself any kind of Hispanic or Latin, whatever, Hispanic race or background, this is who you are supposed to vote for. And the local races are extremely important, especially the district attorney. The local races are, I would argue, a lot more important than the presidential race, but most of us don't think that and don't get involved enough in politics to really know that's really where change happens and how it affects our everyday lives is at the local level. And they're very clear about that. And they put that out. It's the California Voter Guide for Hispanics, but I believe they have it in all of the major states, and it's, I believe, funded and brought down from the Latino Caucus at the federal level. So they are very well organized, and we really should be on that same page. I agree. But then the last thing I did want to mention on your definition, Brother George, about what culture is, personally, I don't necessarily, that doesn't really resonate with me because of the words total and that distinguishes us as unique. Because we are such a melting pot of, you know, people and races and ethnicities and whatever, you know, all we are not totally anything, including our behavior. There are many of us that might come from the same parents, have the exact same heritage, background, or whatever, and we act totally different. So I don't think there is any culture, if that's their definition of culture. I personally don't think that there, you can say there's a particular behavior, or especially the way it sounded to me, like there's an entire collection of the way we dress, speak, talk, walk, do whatever. Like there's a whole lot of things that we do exactly alike, and all of us who consider ourselves Black or African American or whatever name, or, you know, a culture. And I just don't think that that exists. I think we're too intertwined, integrated, interbred, and everything else, that we are a culmination of a bunch of different cultures. There are certain, you know, ways we dress, talk, music we like, and da-da-da-da-da. But even still, I know a lot of Black people who don't, who have no rhythm whatsoever, can't dance, you know, or don't like watermelon. I mean, whatever the things we would define as maybe generally as culture, you know, as it relates to a particular culture or our culture, I could find, for every two people that say, yeah, this is part of our culture, I could find at least one person who says, no, it's not my culture. I don't do that. I don't eat that. I don't dress like that. I don't, whatever.
So, well, I think that's a really interesting perspective. Let me ask you this question. Do you think it's important that Black Wallets Matter establishes a culture?
I do.
Okay.
Code of conduct and a culture within this group, absolutely.
Okay. So that's really where, I mean, I think your perspective is really would be worthy of more discussion, and because I'd be interested in, you know, really examining that, just like Cujo's assertion about, you know, beliefs don't really, people shouldn't really be led by beliefs. So that's another interesting perspective,
right,
that I'd like to further explore. But I always want to tie right back into Black Wallets Matter. So, you know, if you agree that culture, we want to establish a culture within our organization, I think we can definitely move from there.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your input.
Okay. So, brothers and sisters, that concludes this session. This was very cool. It can be a two-part We can come back, next week or the week after or whatever. We could come back and then we can finally dive in. We can see what kind of notes the good brother took, and we can build from there. So I want to thank you all for participating. Good night.
All right, everybody. Peace.
Good night.
Good night.
Peace.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.